Hey, it's Chris Jones with the Jones Zone, and I want to thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. Hey, real quick, before we get started, I have a favor to ask. If you've listened to the podcast before, or if you enjoy the episode you're about to hear, please like the podcast on social media, and please leave a review. Having listeners like and review the podcast is the fastest way for it to grow and reach more people, and we really want to share our stories with the biggest audience possible. Thank you. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Jones Zone Real Estate Team. That's right. We sponsor our own podcast. So if you know of anyone looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in residential real estate in the Charlotte, Fort Mill, Rock Hill area, have them connect with us on their favorite platform. Enjoy the show.
It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
Count me down.
3, 2, 1,
go. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast. How was that, Brian?
Chris, I think that was too much energy. We're in like a zen-like space here.
All right, man. Say it again.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
Welcome to the Jones.
A little more energy.
Ah, jeez. All right, count me down.
3, 2, 1, go.
Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
Good, good.
Today is a very special episode. We are on location. We don't do that very often. Most people come into the studio, but today's a special day. Today, we are here with Jack Weaverling of Float Carolina. Float Carolina is a float therapy center in Waxhaw, North Carolina.
That's right, Chris. We just got done floating an hour session, and let's just say I feel very, very relaxed.
Me too. Well, Jack, that was a quick, brief introduction of who you are and what you do here. But if you don't mind...
Actually, that wasn't an introduction.
It was more of an introduction of his name.
Yeah, the fact that we're here.
Take a few minutes and share a little bit of your personal story and some of your professional background and then how you got into Float Carolina.
Well, it all started back when my mom and dad met. you want me to tell a little bit about what floating is and then kind of go from there?
Yeah, yeah.
We'll get to that. Tell us a little bit about you, man.
Okay, so I pretty much was raised in and around here, the 803 area code. I'm from Florida originally, but my family kind of moved up here, and I've been up here ever since. And I graduated in Chester, South Carolina. I wanted to go to the military, but like I was telling you before, they found I had a hearing loss, so that was kind of out the window. And I was like, well, shoot, now I got to go to college and get a real job and do all that good stuff. So it was a big bummer at the time because I was really looking forward to going to the military. I was like, I'm going to be a fucking, you know, can I cuss?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm going to be a colonel and all this other stuff, you know. And so, but it didn't really pan out. So, you know, I went to college and met a girl and that didn't work out. And then I dropped out of college and then pretty much like hit, quote unquote, rock bottom. And I wasn't into drugs and alcohol. It was basically I lost my job, lost my license, going to school, living at home with my mom. Went to jail for a night because I was driving with no license. I didn't know I didn't have any license, but anyway. So I was pretty much at my low point, right? And then I was like, well, screw this. I got to get back at it, you know. So I started working a part-time job, went back to school, hooked back up with my high school sweetheart, got 2 part-time jobs, going back to school, all this good stuff. And then actually started a co-op with York Tech, right? And this co-op was going to last for about 2 weeks.
What's a co-op? What are you talking about?
A co-op is kind of like where you go to work and school, but you get credit for the time you spend at the job. So you got to file reports and document your daily stuff.
Do you get paid for that too?
Yeah. Okay, so you get paid, right? But yeah, that was supposed to last for 2 weeks. I was there for 10 years.
Oh wow!
Yeah. It was.
What line of work was it?
You said 2 years or 10?
10.
10 years.
Ten years. Yeah. The co-op was basically it was sales, but also kind of mixed in with a little bit of CAD, computer aided design, and because that was my background. And so yeah, that lasted 2 weeks, and they wanted to keep me on. So that kind of, you know, I kind of grew with the company. It was only like 5 or 6 people to begin with, and by the time I left, we had like 10 or 11. But there was still a lot that I did. I mean, I went from doing a little bit of CAD work to shipping and receiving and CAD work and sales. And Also taught myself how to do CNC machining, and I was doing stuff for the medical industry, for the military, for NASA, all kind of stuff. And so that just kind of, I just kind of grew with whatever the company needed, just grew with them. And it got to the point where I pretty much hit my ceiling, right? There's nowhere for me to go, right? You know, I couldn't gain any more responsibilities, couldn't really move up the ladder anymore because it was such a small company. So for the last 5 years or so, I was pretty much looking for other opportunities. You know, what's calling me? What's a good job? And I had done a number of interviews while I was there, and it just couldn't, find something that fit, that was good enough for me to leave the company I was at, because I worked for a pretty good company. And in that quest, in that search to keep growing, keep developing, you know, I kind of got into spirituality, kind of got into meditation, and, you know, heard the Joe Rogan podcast, and, you know, he's all about, you know, all these different things, but also, you know, help developing yourself, right?
Right.
You know, physically and mentally. And so he talks about floating pretty heavily in there, you know, even so that he has one at his house. I was like, well, I've got to try this, right? So, you know, and doing my research, I found one in Asheville, right? So I was like, man, it's $80 to go float. I didn't have $80 just lying around, you know? So it actually took me about 6 months before I got saved up the money and just made time to go up there and do it, because it was in Asheville. I had to go make the whole day out of it.
Yeah, it's a 2-hour trip, right?
Yeah, it's a 2-hour trip. And so I took my wife with me up there and just got up there and did like a 10 o'clock float, right? And they're in this huge tank, like one of the most expensive tanks you can get. Doesn't mean it's better, it just means it's most expensive, right? But it's pretty big. It's almost kind of like an industrial freezer where you just open up the door and you step into this chamber, this black lined tar paper everywhere on the floor and the bottom. So you look in, you can't even see the bottom. It's all black in there.
Jeez.
Right? But you can stand in the middle, stick your arms out and turn around, and you can't touch anything. Right? It's pretty big. So I got in there, got floating, and it took me a good 30 minutes just to calm down. Because I was like, oh man, I'm here, I made it finally.
Excited.
Yeah, I was excited. Yeah. Excited. You know, I really wasn't nervous, I was just excited. And so it took them a while to calm, like, not really the nerve, it's just that excitement, that enthusiasm for being there, for doing it, right? It took a while for that to come.
So you had to say, you had to curb your enthusiasm.
Exactly. And so, finally when I got settled down, I had about 10 or 15 minutes left, and that's when I was like in that state, right? I was like, wow, this was cool. I actually got out, and my neck was hurting, like I was telling you before, because I was holding it. So although it was a great float, it wasn't the best, right? So I knew I had to do it again, because what they tell you is it's a practice, right? You get better at it. You learn what to do and what not to do for your own body and for your own mind, right? So I knew I had to do it again. So that's when I found Buoyance, and they've been around for a little while. They didn't have appointments at the time that I first wanted to go. But anyway, went up there, tried it, and I was like, wow, this is it. And I signed up for an unlimited membership. I was like, I've got to do this. I got to learn more about it. Nobody I know does this or has even heard of it.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
It's so obscure and quote-unquote new, right? But I wasn't afraid to do that. And it was just laying in water. It was so crazy about that, you know? So I was doing it, and I realized, you know what? People need this. They just don't know it yet. They just don't know it yet, but they need it. For their mind, for their sanity, for their body, for the aches and pains, just for the stress. You know, they need to have a place to go and disconnect. You know, I tell people it's kind of like, you know, when your internet mess up and you go to the router and you're like, just unplug it for 2 seconds and put it back in. To me, that's what floating is.
Sorry to interrupt. Let's touch base, because the people might be listening, like we just said, that might not even know what floating is. So, what is floating? What are the benefits? Just tell us a little bit about floating sensory deprivation experience.
Yeah. So, you're floating on water, right? But it's a special kind of water, and that it has Epsom salt in it. Just like the Epsom salt, you know, you would soak your feet in, or sores, muscles at home, right? Except for if you do it at home, say you put it in your bathtub, you put a couple cupfuls of Epsom salt in there. You let it dissolve. It kind of helps with aches and pains and stuff like that. Well, in our tanks, there's more water in there, so you can stretch out. So it's like a large bathtub. And then there's 1,000 pounds of Epsom salt dissolved in the water, right? So you're going to get the soaking benefits while you're in there, right? No doubt about that. But the reason we put so much salt in there is so you can float, you know, kind of like the Dead Sea. It makes the water denser, right? So you're just kind of on top, right? Mm-hmm. Half your body's in, half your body's out. So you're just kind of find that balance point, right? And it's such that, you know, it's not where your upper part, your upper torso is floating, your feet are dropping. No, your entire body is floating. Even your fingertips float, right? Mm-hmm. If you go to try to push your legs down and let go, they just pop back up, right? So you can't not float in there, right? And so there's a couple benefits that just come with just the floating alone, you know, let alone the sensory deprivation part of it and the Epsom salt part of it. But the floating alone has its own benefits, right? Because the water is carrying you, you can just let go, you know, go limp in the water, right? When I mean go limp, I mean let your neck go, let your shoulders drop, let your hips find their natural state, right? Every muscle can just go limp, so it doesn't have to be under tension anymore. And if you guys are anything like me, when you got just normal stress, work stress, day-to-day stress, right, family stress, you can kind of, it manifests physically, mm-hmm. right? You know, whether it's just tense muscles or you just start feeling bad, you just get exhausted faster, right? That stress can manifest. Well, if you're holding tense muscles, you're getting in a tank, right? That basically dissolves, right? Your shoulders drop, right? Your muscles relax, right? So that's going to help you, right? Because the water is carrying you. You don't have to hold yourself up, right? The Epsom salt further helps relax and soften the muscles, right? It's also good for your skin too, right? Because the magnesium that's in the salt is going to be absorbed through the skin, right? And I'm sure, you know, Cecil told you about that. That's a good way to get magnesium in the body, right? And that magnesium is going to kind of soften the muscles too. And then there's the added benefit of the sensory deprivation, right? No light, no sound in the tank, right? And also, no sense of touch, right? And it's kind of weird how the tanks do that. It's because the water's heated, right? Not like a hot tub. It's just, you know, skin temperature neutral, right? Which is about 94, 95 degrees, right? But the air inside the tank is also that temperature, right? Because you're in this capsule and everything's enclosed.
Yeah, so there's two different styles. One is like you climb into a little pod. Mm-hmm. And you lay in the pod with the lid closed, and then the other one is, it's a similar effect, but there's no enclosure, right?
Yeah, I mean, in essence, there is an enclosure, but it's more room, more space, more airspace.
So it's less claustrophobic for people to deal with that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So because your water's heated and the air's heated, right, to the same temperature as your skin, relatively speaking, after a while, you don't feel either one. When you get in a tank and you're laying still, right, you're not moving a muscle, you can't feel that you're on anything. You might as well be floating in a cloud or in space or something like that, right? So you don't have that sensory input coming in, right? When you're not moving and there's no light, no sound, there's no stimulation, no distractions for your mind to latch onto, right, to attach to, right, except for what's going on internally, right? And so, because your body is super relaxed, right, and then your mind will follow, right, because it's just natural progression, right? And once your mind starts to relax, it'll either calm down, you'll go to sleep, one thing that can happen. The other thing is, you can have thoughts, but they become more clear and focused, right? And you can analyze those thoughts a little bit better, right? And because you're more clear, you can also be more creative because there's no distractions to kind of interrupt your flow, right? What is that guy who does the flow genome? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
Flow genome project? You gotta look into that. It's about, you know, when athletes get in the zone, mm-hmm. right? When they're not thinking about anything else, they have no distractions, right? They call that the flow state, right? And I'm going off on a tangent, but you can get in that state while you're in a tank.
How long does it take to get good at floating? Like, when the first time I got in there and I'm sure it's going to happen to most people. You're just kind of like
trying to take in the whole experience. Yeah. So you're not, at the same time, you're not maximizing the experience because you're not sure exactly. Kind of like you said with your first float, you know, it was only the last few minutes that you really felt like you were getting into it. But what, how long should people practice it, and then how long should they expect it to take before they get good at it and maximize what they're doing?
That's a good question. I expect, let's just say 50% of the people to know what to do their second time, and they can just, you know, get down quickly. They know what to do. They lay down. They're like, oh yeah, I remember this. I've been here before. Oh wait, don't put my hands above my face because the water will drip on me.
Yeah.
Right? And so you start to kind of like learn how to float, right? And everybody has to, because it's not something we normally do, right? It hasn't been really around, right? So you kind of have to learn. Like with anything, like going to the gym with yoga, right? It takes practice. It takes getting used to it. It takes finding how this technique works well with your body and your mind and your idiosyncrasies and stuff like that. And so to answer your question, 2 to 3 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, what is the most unique experience that you've had while you were floating in the tank?
That's a good question, because every float is different. And when I can't stress that enough. Of course, between each person is going to be different. But even if you've had 10 floats, each one of those will be different. They're never the same. Even if you if you wake up at the same time in the morning, eat the same breakfast, come in at the same time, have the same interactions with certain people throughout the day, each float's going to be different. But I would have to say, probably when I did a 2-hour float a couple of months.
2-hour float.
Yeah, yeah. And it sounds crazy, but I flew to maybe 30, 35 times or something like that. So I was overdue for an extended float. You know, pretty much all my other ones were an hour or an hour and a half. But this 2-hour one was interesting because I had a couple other customers who were wanting to do an extended float. So I said, you know what, come here on a Friday night. What, you know, everybody's gone, your last float tonight. We're all going to do a 2-hour float. I'm going to float with you, right? Because it was kind of new to me too. And I was very, I'm going to say intimidated, but I was curious as to how it was going to be for me, because typically my floats are long. I feel the full hour. I don't really shut down. Although my mind quiet down, I don't really doze off or go to sleep. So I was worried that I was going to be in there for a good 2 long hours, right?
Yeah.
You know, so it's a tiny bit of anxiety about that. So what I did was, you know what, let me have some background music in there. It's just some white noise, right? So I ran it through the computer, and I played music, you know, the whole time. But I was in there for about 45 minutes thinking, I was like, okay, actually the music is kind of getting on my nerves right now, right? I'm noticing it too much. And I couldn't turn it off from inside that tank, so I actually got out, came in here, had a towel wrapped around me, turned the music off, and went right back in there. And then I was like immediately back in. It was quiet, and it was actually really good after that. And the reason it was probably my most interesting one, because I kept coming in and out, like, of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like waves, right, that maybe lasted every 15 minutes or something like that. And that was really interesting, right? In itself. So I got done, took my shower, and I walked back out here and back into this environment that I'm always in, because you know, I spend a lot of time here. So I know what I feel like when I'm here in the lobby, right? But when I came out, I felt like I had this like warm electric blanket just kind of like wrapped around me, man.
It's funny that you say that, because as you were talking earlier, you're like, yeah, we all have stresses from work. And I was like, yeah, but you come to work to take the stress off. Like, even if you might be stressed here, like, this is like also your safe place too at the same time. Like, you go in and get a float whenever you need to.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and that was kind of what I thought. And my other partner, he was like, you know, I wouldn't mind owning a float center just so I could float anytime I want. Right. But what I found for myself, my partners, and all my other customers is finding time, making time, right, to come. Because really, you gotta, you know, set aside 2 hours, right? And for busy lives, it's hard, but it's also necessary, right, to give yourself that time, right? And I have to force myself to do it too. You know, even staying here late, I have to force myself. Okay, it's time, you're overdue, Jack, yeah. You need to float. Because all that tension, that stress just kind of builds up, right? And it manifests. And just having a float, can, it's almost like a reset, you know?
Well, there's an old saying, I forget who said it, maybe it's like an old proverb or something, but it's like, if you don't have time to meditate, meditate twice.
Meditate twice.
So it's basically stating, and it applies to this, you know, floating is kind of like meditating, so it's all about making time and prioritizing your day.
Yeah, it's like you got too much going on, so you need this
more
than most people do. How often should most people do it? You mentioned having an unlimited membership before. I mean, do you... How many times is that per week?
So I was floating at least two times a week at my last time that I was doing that. And that was, I don't want to say it was excessive, because, I mean, each float was great and I felt great afterwards. I recommend either once a week or once every 2 weeks, right? Because you'll feel it. It'll get to the point where you're like, oh man, I need to float. You'll feel it, right? And you'll be like, okay, that float I had 2 weeks ago is going to be worn off, right? Yeah, I had this one guy, that's the way he is. He comes in every 2 weeks and floats.
Yeah. So at what point did you say, because floating is awesome and it's a great release. We recommend it to anybody that wants to try it. At what point did you say, man, I'm going to open up my own place and this is going to be my new career and my new journey? I mean, what brought that on, and then what gave you the courage to pursue that?
So I was telling you, my last job, I pretty much hit my ceiling.
Yeah.
So I was looking for something, right? And it kind of goes all the way back to when I was about 10 years old. I knew I wanted to own my own business. I just didn't know what it was. So that was always kind of telling behind me. One of these days, I'm going to own my own business. I just don't know what it is yet. Whether it was a product or a service or something, I was going to do it. So I was always kind of waiting on the opportunity, right? I tried to create my own opportunities a couple other times, but didn't quite work out. So this one kind of came about very organically, right? I was getting into meditation and self-improvement and stuff like that. And I actually thought about opening up another place. I was going to call it the Atman Center. And the Atman is kind of like this Hindu thing. It's the universal self.
Okay.
So like your higher self, your soul, whatever you want to call it, is basically the Atman, right? And then just above that is the Brahman, which is kind of like the universal God source or whatever. Anyway, so I was going to call it the Atman Center. It was going to be like a meditation center. And if you can just imagine like downtown, center city, all these businessmen walking around, they just need to like shut down for a minute, right? So you can go in there like this little booth, a meditation booth, we're going to call it, and you can just unplug for a few minutes, 20 minutes or something like that. But I didn't see really the viability in that, right? In generating money to afford a center city location like that. So it kind of was like, okay. But at the same time I was having that idea, I was also started floating. Mm. And it was actually in the tank one day. I asked myself, just Jack, what comes so natural to you that it's not work? Like, what's part of your core that if you did it, it wouldn't be work? And as I was asking the question, I got an answer, right, in the tank. And it was kind of like meditation. It was, I just like helping people, it was period, clear as day, right? And it was like, you know, head explosion, right? Floating is the way to do that. And it was like, there's not many around here, right? People need it, they just don't know it yet, right? So the opportunity just like, it was like a light bulb. Like, this needs to happen, right? And because I told myself, well, I like to help people, it comes so natural to me, it's like it's not even work. It's just what I'm meant to do, right? I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to go to medical school. I don't have that patience or aptitude, right? So this is my way of helping people, right? And it was like a calling, like a pull, right? Mm-hmm. So it was in the tank. I kind of figured that out. But there's still a lot of steps in between that and now, right? And so what I did was I kept a little, you know, journal ideas and stuff I had, right? And so in my journal, I wrote down, by January 1st, 2017, I'm going to open a float center, right? And this was like January 6th, 2016, right? So it was like, I gave myself a year, right, to open up, right? Now, we didn't open up until around October, but January 1, I had blueprints in hand, right? And so that was very cool, because I had also made a vision board and everything, You know, I grew up backwoods, redneck. We didn't make vision boards, right? That's crazy, man. So I had that next to my computer, so I'd look at it every day, and I kept adding quotes and stuff like that, stuff that I wanted to manifest, right? And I listened to, who's that old guy, Think and Grow Rich or something?
Napoleon Hill,
right? I listened to him, and I was like, you know what? He's right. You go ahead and see that vision, but you act upon it now, right? So it was almost like I had a lasso, and I cast it out into the future, right? But I basically pulled myself towards it, right? You know, not waiting on it, not just, I don't know how I'd say it, just kind of, I was, made the actions and kept it in my mind that it was going to happen. It was already happening as I was living it, right? And just kept that mentality, right? I didn't know how I was going to afford it. I didn't know where it was going to be, what I was going to do. I didn't know anything about floating or setting up tanks or, you know, changing chemicals out and stuff like this and running a business. I just knew that the universe had a path for me and it was pulling me in that direction, right? And Napoleon Hill talks about that, right? Like when you just feel a passion, right? You go after that, right? And so it just manifested, right? I got on the computer, started doing a bunch of research, and actually came across this forum that's all about other float center owners. And I was just reading through the comments and the blogs and stuff like that, and came across this one guy. He said, oh, I'm looking to do one of these in Charlotte. I'm like, oh, crap. I said, dude, we need to talk, right? And because he had just put the comment like 2 weeks before. I said, hopefully I catch him. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just see what happens. And he responded back. And we met up for coffee down here in Ballantyne. And that was about 2 years ago, right? So, and it took like a full probably 18 months for us to open up.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you guys became partners?
Yeah.
Is it just the two of you?
It's me and him, my old high school friend. You know, we used to be roommates. We were in a band together and stuff like that.
What was your band?
It was called A Road Eternal.
A Road Eternal.
Yeah. Okay. And so we played local shows like The Money in Rock Hill. Mm-hmm. We played Tremont. So it was like a heavy metal band, right?
Have you ever heard of Perpetual Groove?
No. Okay. It's Brian's favorite band.
Really? Is it a local band?
No, they're based out of Athens. Okay. Athens, Georgia. But they travel all up and down the East Coast, Colorado. They go all over the place.
What's their style?
They're like a jam band type thing. But they have their own original music, obviously. But it's very... I think you would like it. It's very... You know, it's rock. They go on for like, they could play like a 7-8 minute
wow.
Just session.
Band instrumental stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Keyboards, guitars, nice. Drums. It's awesome. I go all the time whenever I can.
So the four of you guys decided we're going to do this?
Yeah. We decided, okay, we're going to do this. It's going to be great. But there's still a lot of risk involved, right? Nobody knows about it. So our job is educating, right? Before we even open up. So we started our Facebook like a year before we opened up because we wanted to prep people, right? And then we did events kind of leading up to it, right? And that helped out a lot because when you think float tanks, first thing people think is, okay, well, how do they clean the water? Is it like a public pool? I don't swim in public pools, right? And in fact, our North Carolina health inspector, she don't swim in public pools. She says, you are never going to get me in these tanks. But I'm like, you know how clean it is, right? She's like, I know, but I just don't do pool. And so we knew half the battle was going to be educating people and just getting them in the door. But there's always this period of early adopters.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you have the other people. And then you have like, okay, you're at capacity, mass awareness, right? So we're still at that phase of just, we got kind of past early adopters. Now we're just kind of get the people who are kind of lagging, you know?
So you're still in kind of like a blue ocean type of deal.
Yeah, we're still in a tremendous growth phase.
Yeah.
And like I said, we're at like 50% capacity right now.
In terms of memberships? Or?
Just, you know, our bookings filling up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, throughout the week. Mm-hmm. So, but from a business standpoint, we were expecting to go 5 to 6 months just to carry ourselves, right? Before we actually started getting, you know, breaking even, right? We broke even the first month.
Awesome.
Second month was even better, and then we had the holiday sales. So, you know, knock on wood, you know, yeah. Everything still is going pretty good. Now, you know, right now being January, people bought gift certificates for Christmas and whatnot, and so now they're using them. But yeah, it's been great. It's been great. So I would say 99% customer satisfaction. That 1% actually comes from people who really just can't float. And I say that, you know, loosely, because they get motion sickness and they know it, right? So when they get in there and they start rocking around, they might as well be on a boat, right? Right? And so people like that, they're not, it's not good for them to float, right? Unless they can kind of control it.
Is there an age minimum that, so
it, well, you don't want an infant in
it. Yeah, but like a 12-year-old who's trying to get better in sports and wants to improve his vision.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
absolutely.
You, okay, great.
Actually, I have this 9-year-old kid. He floats at least once a month, maybe twice a month. And he just so happens to have Asperger's, right? So it's a form of autism, but it's a very functional form of autism. You know, he's kind of smart and intelligent, so he's mature enough to be in the tank and not splash around and whatnot. And so he goes in his shorts, and his mama checks on him from time to time while he's
in. Is that to help him improve sensory stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah.
Just kind of calm his mind. So and it helps him sleep, too.
Yeah. What are some of the benefits? I mean, I know you talked a little bit about that, but in terms of an athlete or someone trying to improve performance, how does floating benefit them?
Number one, it's going to relax you, right? So that's always a good thing, right? It helps with sleep, right? After you float, you sleep really good at night. As far as performance, it helps with workout recovery. Like say you did an intense practice, it's good to float kind of afterwards or the next day to kind of help recover from that, so you recover faster, right? Also, while you're in the tank, you can kind of help, I don't want to say strategize, but you can help with your mental game, which, you know, that's half the battle, right, when you're in sports or any kind of competition.
Visual imagery, there's been several studies, hundreds of studies saying it works.
Yeah,
sports psychology.
And there's been studies specifically with vision and floating in sports, right? Yeah. There's some sort of study done. I mean, it's a small study.
Right.
But, you know, they found really good results from it. But like with any study, it's almost like, oh, well, we concluded that it helps, but there needs to be further study done.
Right, yeah.
Right.
If someone wants to fund that study, we'll...
There's actually a study going on right now. I can't remember where it's at. But they're actually doing clinical trials now. They had regular, I don't know what it's called, prior, where you get some people with no known conditions, and you put them in a tank, and they self-evaluate to see how they improved. Right? But now they're doing clinical trials on people with anxiety and depression. And then they check their vitals and all. They do functional MRI scanning, so a real-time MRI scanning of the brain before a float and after a float. Yeah, they monitor their heartbeat and stuff like that while they're in there, but they do the scanning afterwards. And kind of the preliminary results of what they found is it reduced activity in the amygdala. And so the amygdala is a part of the brain that kind of controls fear, kind of fight or flight.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're always kind of like on edge, you know, because that's kind of how we evolve, to be worried about what's that sound in the bush, you know, to be aware of your surroundings and stuff like that. So the amygdala has evolved to kind of be in a state of awareness, right? And so when you're in the tank, the activity in the amygdala drops, right? So you can finally relax, right? So it becomes like this safe environment, right? So your cortisol level, your stress hormone, kind of drops. It goes down. And to balance that, your kind of your happy, your endorphins, serotonin, right, go up, right? So you actually come out feeling happier. And it's interesting because knowing that, I kind of watch out for it. When I see a customer come in, for an example, I seen this one teenage girl. She came in to float with her mom, right? When I was back there giving the intro, telling what you do, what you shouldn't do, she was like on her phone. She was like holding her eyes, you know, that kind of thing. And I said, okay. But when she came out, total difference. She was happy, she was smiling, she was talking, and it was just like I could see the mood change. And even when I had Thomas Davis come in, you know, he was very quiet and, you know, calm when he was in here. He didn't really say anything, but when he came out, his eyes were open wider, right? He was smiling, he was talking, right? So you can see their mood change coming out of the tank. And it's just what it does. You get in a safe environment, you get relaxed, right? So when you're in a relaxed state, it was kind of like, you, I don't want to say you lose inhibitions because they're still there. It just kind of opens, cracks the door a little bit.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Well, dude, let's take the last minute or so. Just remind us who you are, what you do, and then most importantly, how can people get in touch with you guys?
Yeah. So they can look us up online, floatcarolina.com. We're on Facebook. We just passed 2,000 likes, so we're kind of excited about that.
Nice.
So go to floatcarolina.com or call us and book an appointment.
Good deal. Jack, thanks for coming on the Jones.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having. Yeah. Yeah, thanks for coming, man.
I'm ready for another float.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone Podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.